All right, Jabal say, let's begin. So we're picking up today's daf is Sadik Gimel 93. We are picking up on Sadik Gimel at the Mishnah. So very interesting sugya today. Okay, says the Mishnah. Misha Hayanasui Shalosh Nashim. Jabal says an interesting sugya. A man is married to three women. Umeis, and he dies. As we said, of understandable causes, right? Exactly. Took on too much. So Misha Hayanase Shalosh Nashim Umeis. So a man was married to three women, and he died. Now, let's listen to this. Ksuvasa Shalzu Mane. Wife number one has a ksuva of 100 zuz, Mane. Wife number two, Vishalzu. Wife number two, Shalmasai, has 200 zuz. Vishalzu Shalosh Meos. And third wife has a ksuva of 300 zuz. Only one problem. Ve'in Sham El Mane. And Abbas said when he died, he pretty much died with nothing more to his name than a mana, than 100 zuz, because he had three wives, right? It all fits together. So the idea he only has a mana. So Abbas says, now obviously, what do you do? Because in this case over here, you have 600 zuz in outstanding ksuva debt, but there's only 100 zuz in the estate, which the Mishnah says, chalkin b'shala. So we just let the three wives divide up this mana equally. Obviously, no one's getting totally paid. They will say, now, the case of the Mishnah over here is he doesn't have any sold properties either. This is what he's got. He's got 100 mana to his name. That's all. So the mice again, the three women split the money equally. Hayasham Masayim. And Bosin, here's where it gets a little bit more intriguing. So what happens if instead he left 200 zuz in the estate? So what happens? Shalmana no teles chamishim. So the woman with the wife number one who had the ksuva of 100, she takes 50 zuz. And the wives with 200 and 300 zuz ksuvas respectively, take each of them 3 gold pieces. Now both say, each gold piece is the equivalent to 25 zuz, which means they each take 75 zuz. So again, the woman with the 100 zuz ksuva takes 50 zuz, and the other two wives, we'll call her 200 and 300, each take 75 zuz. Now Rashi points out here something very interesting. So Rashi points out, Hayusha Masayim, Rashi says, Ein leba'alas mana shibud elu lemana rishon, ava b'mana sheni ein shibud l'shtara shalmana. So now tell us, so essentially what we're going to see over here is the following. Wife number one has a claim against the first mana. The truth is, we'll see actually, all three wives have a claim against the first mana, but only wives two and three have a claim against the second mana. Therefore, again, now we'll see why wife number one is getting 50 zuz from the first mana. She really should only be getting 33, which we'll discuss. But the idea in a vacuum is all three wives have a claim against mana number one. Only second two wives have a claim against mana number two. So the distribution is wife number one gets 50 zuz, wives two and three, 75 zuz. Hayusham shlosh meos. What if he left 300 zuz in the estate? So shalmana no talas chamishim. So let's say, so the wife number one, who had, again, 100 zuz ksuba, she takes 50 zuz. V'shalmasayim mana, and the one who had 200 zuz ksuba, she gets 100. V'shal shlosh me'os, shisha shalzav. And the one ultimately, again, who had a 300 zuz ksuba, she gets 36 gold pieces, which is 150 zuz. We'll say, look at Rashi here for just a moment. Hayu sham shlosh meos, mana risham mishubat kulam. We'll say, so this is pretty much the same type of model. The first mana is mishubat to all of them, meaning all of them have a claim against the first mana. Vashini lebalas masayim lebalas shlosh meos. Second mana, there is a claim against that for wife number two and wife number three. And the third mana, technically speaking, is only claimed by wife number three. So I'll say the idea over here is, the way the Gemara is looking at this is quite interesting. So for example, this is the easiest case actually to demonstrate this. So if he leaves three wives, wife number one has a ksuva of 100, wife number two has a ksuva of 200, wife number three has a ksuva of 300. He leaves 300 zuz in the estate. So if we break this up, when it comes to the first 100 zuz, who has a claim against that first 100? All of them. Why do all of them have a claim against it? Because they all have at least 100 zuz in their ksuva. So technically speaking, they would all split that first 100. When it comes to the second 100, wife number one is already knocked off because her claim was only against the first 100 zuz in the estate. Therefore, again, when it comes to the second unit of 100 zuz, that only wives two and three have a claim against. Technically, when you come to the third unit of 100 zuz, so remember, wife number one was knocked off already. When I say knocked off, I don't mean like in the like mafia sense. I mean like, you know, her claim is knocked off because, again, the Maisa, she only had a claim against a certain amount. By the time we get to the second 200, again, wife number two is also taken care of because her claim was only 200, which means that there's only wife number three left by the third unit of 100 zuz. That's how the chilek takes place.
This is based on the amount owed as the priority level, not the number. An order
of which wife. Oh, no, we're going to see that. Okay. We're going to see that. Yeah, because priority, absolutely. I mean, right now we could look at this in a vacuum if all of them got married at the same time. Right, but we will see that priority absolutely plays a role in this. Now, we'll say, now the Gemara, the Mishnah ends up, Gimel She'atil L'Kis. So we'll say, so to Gimel She'atil L'Kis means if you have three people going to business with each other. Rashi says, She'atil L'Kis, Mo'os Liknos Schor L'Schar. They go out and they put in money to buy merchandise to do business with. Pichesu Aho Siru, Kachin Cholkin. Whether the business appreciates or depreciates, they go ahead and they share in profits or losses. Now Rashi understands over here, Kachin Cholkin, Kol Echad VeEchad Notel B'Schar VeHefz Lefim Oser. We'll say this is actually going to be very interesting. Altschoshin Mishpat. You have three people who invest in a business, right? But they don't go ahead and invest equally, right? Let's say one person invests 50%, and the other two invest 25% each. So what the Mishnah is suggesting over here is the way you divide profits and losses is what is corresponding to the amount of your investment. So therefore, even though all three of us are necessary to get the business off the ground, Lemaisa, profits and loss are divided up in accordance with the amount of your investment capital. Says the Gemara, Shamana notalas chamishim. So I'll say, remember again, going back to the Mishnah, and I'll say, remember, everything, the only case that was straightforward was the first case of where three wives, total of 600 zuz in ksuva, but Lamaisa, again, only a mana in the estate. So in that case, what was the halacha? They split up the first mana. But I'll say, why did they just split up the first mana? Because everyone has a claim against that first mana. Where it got intriguing was in the second and third cases. Well, let's say the estate has either 200 or 300 zuz. In that case, again, technically speaking, everyone, all three wives, have a claim against that first mana. Therefore, they should divide it up equally. But yet, what does the Mishnah say? That wife number one gets 50 zuz, which is half of that mana. So why is the Gemara says, Shamana no thals chamishim, tlasin utlasa v'tilsa udi isle. Why does wife number one, why does she get 50 zuz? She should get what? 33 and a third zuz, meaning that first mana should be equally divided among the three wives. Why does she get half of it? So the Gemara says, tlasin utlasa v'tilsa udi isle. Amr Shmuel because Seves Bailas Masayim Lebalas Mana, because we'll say what's the case? The case is where the woman with the 200 zuz ksuva wrote to the woman with the 100 ksuva, Din Udvarim Ili Imach Bemana. So we'll say, so essentially the Gemara answers is it's a case of where wife number two says to wife number one, I am releasing my lien on the first 100 zuz. Okay, so essentially then when it comes to the first 100 zuz, how many wives have to divide it up? Only two, because wife number two excused herself or released her claim to the first mana. That's why wife number one ultimately is going to get 50 zuz. So the Mara says, Ihachi, if that's the case, Ema Seifa, Shama Sayim Vishal Shalosh Meos, Shalosh Shalzav. So we'll say, if that's the case, remember, look at the last case in the Mishnah. Last case in the Mishnah is where there's 300 zuz in the Ksuva. So remember, what did the Mishnah pass? And the Mishnah said that wives two and three each get 150 zuz. So the Gemara, excuse me, that was case number two, not case number three, I'm sorry. Each of them get 250 zuz. So the Gemara says, Taymallah, why doesn't wife number three say to wife number two, Hasalakta nafshach mina? So wife number three should get more than that, why Rabbi said, because if wife number two is saying, I release my claim to the money in the ksilva, she's out. To which the Gemara says, from the Amrullah, Medina dvarm hu desalak nafshai. Because wife number two said, look, I only released my claim on the first money, I did not release my claim on the other monies of the estate. Therefore, Lagabi, the first mana. So wife number three, wife number one will divide it equally. But regarding manas number two and three, that Lamaisa, wife number two, is not releasing her claim to. Hayu sham shlosh meos. But I remember again, if there was 300 zuz in the estate. So remember, wife number one will take 50 zuz. Wives number two and number three, right? Wives number two and number three. What did the Mishnah say? Right. So wife number two, 200 will take 100, and wife number three ultimately again will take 150. So the Gemara says, Shama Saim Mana. So when you said that the one who has 100 zuz only takes, so she gets a mana, why should she get a mana? She should only get Shivim Vachamisha Hudi Islam. I'll say same thing. If there are three wives, then Lamaisa, wife number one should not be getting 100, she should only be getting 75. To which the Gemara says, Amr Shmuel, same thing, because Seves Ba'alas Shloshmeos, Le Ba'alas Masayim, Ule Ba'alas Mana. Because what's the case? The case over here is where the wife who had the 300 Zuz Ksuva wrote to the wives of 100 and 200 Zuz, Din Udvarim Eimli Imachem B'mana. I am removing myself, I have nothing to do with the first mana, with the first unit of 100. Therefore, again, that unit will only be divided by wives number 1 and 2 equally. Rav Yaakov Minar Pekot.
Why is it all broken up in mana units?
As opposed to?
Masayim units. I don't know, I'm saying why?
That must just have been the normal, I guess that was the normal standardized unit of large currency. I mean, a ksuva is written in zuz. Not mana. I don't know. I don't know why they choose mana. Maybe that's easier.
No, I'm saying because it makes a difference of what each one ends up with when you break it up with that unit as opposed to a different unit.
I mean, you could have been more specific, like using zuzim.
Or
I don't know. It could just be that was the... And I'd have to look around. Maybe like in 5 years, we'll figure out that it could be that mana is always used in Shas whenever discussing monetary I don't know. Rav Yaakov mi Nar Pekod Mishmei de Ravina Omer. So we'll say Rav Yaakov from Nar Pekod Nisim Ravina said, Reisha b'shtei tfisos, b'seifa b'shtei tfisos. So we'll say now, Rav Yaakov from Nar Pekod, that's where he was from, so he has a very interesting interpretation over here. He wants to suggest that the case over here is where there are shtei tfisos. So shtei tfisos, Rav Yaakov means two different property seizures. Look at Rashi for just a moment. So Rashi says over here, Ravina Amar. Rashi says, Lo tukma b'koseves, ela b'shtei tfisos, shetafsu metaltan l'ksubasan, velo nimtzu lahen masayim b'pam achas, ela b'shtei pamim. So I will say, you see, we were trying to figure out why wife number one gets what it is that she wants when it appears that she should be getting less, because Lamaisa, if you're dividing things up three different ways, then Lamaisa, wife number one, is really getting more than her share. To which the Gemara had to answer that it's a case of where one of the other wives is essentially being mocheles. She is forgiving the portion that is coming to her. Rav Yaakov says, the name of Ravina, that there's another way to look at this, namely, that it's two different tfisos, meaning that money is coming to the estate at two different times. So Reisha b'shtei tfisos, v'seifa b'shtei tfisos. Reisha b'shtei tfisos, what's the case in the Reisha? What does it mean that there are two different tfisos? Literally means seizures of property, but it doesn't mean seizure in the classic case over here, but rather over here, tfisos means that Lamaisa, the estate, is getting money at two different times. So Reisha b'shtei tfisos, dinaflu shivin v'chamisha v'chadzimna. So we'll say 75 zuz came to the estate at once. Now remember, if 75 zuz comes at once, all three wives have rights in that 75 zuz, and therefore they'll divide that up b'shava, they'll divide that up equally. Umeya ve'esrim v'chamisha b'chadazimna. And then 125 zuz come again a second time. Now both say, now remember, when you have 125 zuz coming at once, so then ultimately 75 of that they divide equally, and ultimately again the remaining part of that, meaning the remaining 50, is divided up between wives 2 and 3. Now remember, the reason for that is because since wife number 1 still has a claim against 75 more, she does. So therefore, again, that's divided up three ways, and everything else divided up between wives 2 and 3. Seifa b'shtei tfisos. Remember, by doing this, this is how you're able to show why wife number one seems to get more than 1/3 of the estate. Seifa b'shtei tfisos. So to the end of the Mishnah, is talking about two different seizures. or two different transfers of property. Same thing. 75 zuz came at once, and that's why they divide up that 75 zuz equally. Umasayim the esrim. And 200, right? And 225 also come at a second time. And therefore, again, on both sides, this is therefore, again, wife number one will only have a claim against a certain initial amount of that second seizure, and wives two and three will divide up the rest. So the Gemara says, Tanya, Zu Mishnas Rabbi Nassan. Both say, all of this is the opinion of Rabbi Nassan. However, Rabbi Omer, Ein ani roa es devarav shel Rabbi Nassan be'elu, but Rabbi says, I don't agree with all of these statements of Rabbi Nassan. Rather, I hold that in these kinds of cases, the women divide up the estate equally. Look at Rashi, last Rashi on the daf. Ein ani roa devarav shel Rabbi Nassan be'elu, she'in zedoma l'shlosha she'tila l'kis. The Hassam shavach ma'o shesh bichu ma'aseyin shakli, hilchach kol echad yita l'fi ma'osav. So we'll say, so listen to this. Now, remember, the Mishnah was a little bit confusing at first, but the Mishnah wanted to say that the logic behind this type of distribution is no different than a business deal, the business partnership. That if you have a business partnership, and let's say, again, one person invests $100, second person invests $200, third person invests $300, so that their profit sharing will be in accordance with the amount of their investment, and their sharing of loss will be in accordance with the amount of their investment as well. So the Mishnah takes that for granted. And therefore the Mishnah says that essentially a woman with a ksuva, that amount of the ksuva represents, so to speak, her partnership interest in, even though they're not partners in the estate, they're not even inheritors. They're creditors for the estate, but their value of the ksuva represents their rights within the estate. Rabbi Nassan comes along and says, I think that's absolutely untrue. You see, in a business deal, and we're going to discuss the business case in just a moment, but in a business situation, so it's clear that the more money you invest, the more you generate. That's why you should share in accordance with your investment. But Rabbi Nassan says that's not the case over here. The case over here, the Hasam Shavach Moshe, I'm reading Rashi, Shali Hilchach Kol Echad Yital Fimosav. Because we'll see, it makes sense, the more money you invest, ultimately the more profit you generate. The more profit you generate, the more you should get to keep for yourself. But here, when it comes to ksuva, so remember, all of a man's property is encumbered to his wife, ksuva. So all of his property is encumbered to her, ksuva. Therefore, again, Rabbi Nassan is of the opinion that Lamaisa, every part of the estate is encumbered to each of the women equally. Therefore, Rabbi Nassan disagrees with the entire discussion until now and explains that whenever you have a situation of limited assets, meaning that you're not going to be able to pay off every single ksuva obligation in full, what's the halacha? You divide everything up equally. Divide it up equally, and that's the end of the story. Says the Gemara, it's a fundamental machlokes this was the opinion of Rabbi Nassan. Fundamental machlokes between Rabbi Nassan and Rebbe. Rabbi Nassan saying that lemaisa, again, we divide up based on the individual entitlements, and we give each woman a share in the different monas for which they have a claim against. Rebbe is saying we just divide the entire estate equally. We're actually saying not estate. We divide the entire amount allocated or encumbered for ksuva equally.
So what does the first one get?
I'm sorry?
According to Rabbi Nassan, the first one will get?
You'll divide whatever there is by three. Oh, Rabbi Nassan?
Yeah,
so Rabbi Nassan is what we just learned. That depends. Depends how much money there is.
Can she get more than a month, more than her ksuva?
No one will ever, you never get more than, you don't have a lien against that. So you'll never get more than your ksuva. You'll get, again, remember, according to Rabbi Nassan, the way you look at it is you break up, well, the way the Gemara is setting it up over here is it's a case where they inherited at different times. So essentially, you look at each block of inheritance or each block of estate money, and you figure out everyone's entitlement to that. But no one ever gets more than their ksuva. So it says the Gemara v'chein shlosha she'etilu. Remember again, so the Mishnah ended off by saying that this is the same thing, and this is actually very interesting with three people who invested in a business. So the Mishnah suggests that profit sharing and loss sharing corresponds to the amount of your financial investment in the business. Amar Shmuel shneim she'etilu l'kis zemona v'zemasayin. Both say if two people invested in a business, this one 100 zuz, this one 200 zuz. So what's the halacha? Haskar le'emsa. Now, we'll say, now here the Gemara is saying over here, and this is Shmuel, that if two people invest in a business, one for 100, one for 200, they split profits equally. Okay. Amar Rabba. Rabba says, Mistapra milsa de Shmuel b'shura l'charisha v'omi l'charisha. So Rabba says, when does Shmuel's statement make sense that profits and losses are shared equally? This is, for example, when they're purchasing an ox for plowing purposes, and it's going to be used for plowing purposes. They will say, now what's the chap? Look at Rashi. Shalach harisha, shalach ubahen, shalach rosh, the charshin bo. They go ahead and they purchase an ox for plowing, and they actually plow with it. Ve'ein chalko shazeh, mo below chalko shazeh klum. Hilcha cholkin b'shava. Well, so listen to this. There's a very sound logic to this. So you'll say to yourself, how could it be that somebody who invested 100, somebody who invested 200 are going to share equally? Very simple. Because it will say, from a halachic perspective, if you're purchasing an animal to go out and plow, so lemaisa, again, the infusion of the 100 zuz is no less important than the infusion of the 200 zuz. Why? Because we'll say if you had 200 zuz, let's say the ox cost 300 zuz. So if the guy with the 200 zuz put his money down on the table, but we'll call him Reuven, but Shimon did not put down his 100 zuz, then what? There's no ox. So because of that, Lemaisa, again, the Shmuel saying that therefore they share in profits equally because each of their investments is absolutely necessary in order to go ahead and make the result happen. So whenever your investment is an indispensable part of the result, so Shmuel will say that Lemaisa, they share profits equally. However, Aval b'shor l'charish shavah omu l'tvicha. But Rabbi say if they go ahead and they purchased a shar for plowing purposes, but then they decided to what? To shecht it, then even Shmuel will agree, Zenot Lefimi Osa Vezenot Lefimi Osa. So Rabbi say if you're gonna shecht the animal, then everyone will agree that what? That Lamaisa everyone takes corresponding to their investment. Because there you can divide up the animal. You can divide up the animal and say, okay, here's 200 zuz worth of meat. Here's 100 zuz of worth of meat. So Rabbi is just coming along and saying like this. Shmuel seems to make an unequivocal statement that whenever you have partners who invest dissimilar amounts of money, so they'll still share in the profits equally. So Rabbi just qualifies that and says, that's true when the animal is laboring, is working. Then each of their parts is an indispensable part of the final product, therefore they share equally. But if you're going to shecht it up, where you can divide up the animal, corresponding ultimately to the financial investment, then einachinami, that's what you do. So Gemara goes right to Rav Hamnuna. Rav Hamnuna says, afilu shor lacharish va'omi l'tvicha haschar lemsa. And Rav Hamnuna comes along and says, no, not true. Even if you originally purchased the animal for plowing, but now you're going to shecht it, you still go ahead and divide up the animal equally. So apparently Rav Hamnuna feels that no matter what, in all circumstances where you have two partners, but I'm using two, but it doesn't really matter, two. It doesn't matter, two or ten. Whenever people are investing money, even if they're investing dissimilar amounts, nevertheless, they go ahead and they divide up everything equally. Meisveis, I'm sorry?
Is that also applied to a loss?
No, correct. Everything goes both ways. Loss and gains. Profits and losses. So Meisve, the Gemara is the Kasha, Shnaim Shatil Lekis, Zemana Vezema Saim. So I'll say, listen to this. So the Gemara quotes actually, the Mesorah Shah says this is Tosefta. So there are two people, Shatil Lekis means they put into a fund, right? They're investing together for a business. Zemana Vezema Saim. This one is investing 100, this one is investing 200. Haschar Le'emsa. So ultimately, what they will say, we go ahead and they divide up the profits equally. My love, b'shor l'charish va'om l'tvicha. Now, what's the case here? Are we not talking about a case where they originally bought the animal for the sake of plowing, but then decided to shecht it? And since they're going to shecht it, then l'maiso, and what? And yet the price is still, the set is still saying, that what? They split everything equally. Utiyufta d'rabba. And this would be a refutation of Rabba, because we also remember, Rabba wanted to say that even Shmuel, who holds that when partners invest dissimilar amounts, they split everything equally. So Rabba wanted to suggest that's only like in a case of plowing, where again, each party's investment is an indispensable part of the result. But according to Rabba, Shmuel would agree that if you're going to shecht the animal, you do divide it up in accordance with everyone's portions. Though, b'shor l'charisha v'omi l'charisha. No, what is the Bryce talking about? It's talking about a situation where the animal was purchased for plowing and it's going to be used for plowing. Ava shor l'charisha v'omi l'tavicha. But ultimately, again, if the ox is used for plowing, or if the ox is purchased for plowing, but it's going to be shechted, what's the halacha? Mai Zeno Telefima Osav, Vizeno Telefima Osav. But also, what would be the halacha in that case? Everybody would take the portions of the animal in accordance with their investment. So if Gemara says, if that's the case, Adetani Seifa, Lakach Zeh Bishalo, Vizeh Bishalo. Yet look at the end of that Tosefta. What does it say? Lakach Zeh Bishalo, Vizeh Bishalo. And I will say, if you look at Rashi, Lakach Zeh Bishalo, Shvarim Briim B'masayim. So if one guy, one partner, went ahead and used 200 zuz to purchase strong oxen, Vizeh Bishalo, and this one used 100 zuz to go ahead and purchase weak oxen, Vinis Arvu, and I will say, they mix together. And I will say, what Nis Arvu means in this case is the animals plow together, right? They put the weak animals together. Although, interesting enough, we'll see, there's one of the ideas of Lo Sakrosh Shar B'chomer Yachtov, the idea that you can't go ahead and plow with the ox and the donkey together. Sefer Chinuch brings down, he says that one of the reasons is that the ox goes faster and the donkey goes slower and likes to eat. And it'll be mitzar the donkey if the donkey can't go at its own pace. So this must be a case over here, or even though it's weaker and stronger, still one will not be mitzar the other. In any event, just a side point. Adetani Seifa, if that's the case, Lakach Zeh Bishalo, Vizeh Bishalo Venesarvu, Zeh No Telefima Osa, Vizeh No Telefima Osa. So remember, what did the Braisa say? The Tosefta said, the Rebbe said, in this case, even though one bought weak oxen, and one bought strong oxen, nevertheless, they share the profits 50-50. Liflog v'lisnei b'didei. Why don't you go ahead, instead of introducing this new case in the Braisa, go ahead and make a chilik in the previous case, and say the following, b'medram amurim, when is it true that partners share profits, even if their investment amounts are different? That's in a case, bishar lacharisha va'omer lacharisha. So that's in the case ultimately where the ox was purchased for plowing and what? And it's going to be used for plowing. Aval b'shar l'charisha v'omil l'tvicha. But Rabbi says, if a person goes ahead and purchases a shar for plowing purposes, and now what? He's going to use it for shechting purposes. Zenot, meaning he's going to shecht it. Zenot alfima osav. Zenot alfima osav. That you could go ahead, that in that case, we'll say everybody will agree that if you're going to shecht it, you will go ahead and split up the shar in accordance with the amounts of the investment. To which the Gemara says, Hachet Nami Kamar. So we'll say, when it says Hachet Nami, the Gemara means, the Tosefta means to say, this too is included. Pamedra Amura, meaning, this is what Tosefta means to say. Pamedra Amura, when is it true? Shecholkin B'Shava, meaning, when is it true that partners divide up profits equally? When is that true? B'Shar L'Charisha, V'Omid L'Charisha. That's talking about a case, ultimately again, of a shar that was bought for plowing, and it's going to be used for plowing. Aval b'shar l'charisha v'omi l'tvicha. But Rabbi will say, if you purchased a shar for plowing and now you're going to shecht it, what's the halacha? Na'aseh k'mi shalakach zeh b'shalo v'zeh b'shalo v'nis arvu. This is like a case of where this one bought certain oxen with his money, this one bought certain oxen with his money, and they were mixed together. Zeh no telefima osav. This one will take, let's say, this is the Shechita case. This one will take in accordance with his investment, and this one will take in accordance with his investment. Fine. So we'll say, so where the Gemara seems to be holding right now is that Lamaisa, again, if they bought oxen together to go ahead and do business, then Lamaisa, again, they'll share in the profits equally. But if they bought the oxen to go ahead and shecht, then there's no sharing equally. Everyone takes in accordance with his investment amount. Now, I will say, remember, the chilik between that is because when you shecht an animal, you can divide up the animal. You can literally say, this is your piece, this is my piece. When it comes to the results of the animal, let's say the animal is plowing, that results of that plowing were impossible without both of their investments. Therefore, to say you're responsible for one-third, you're responsible for two-thirds, that's an incorrect statement. Because the mice, again, the whole could not have happened without either of their investments. Therefore, they split the profits equally. Tinan, v'chein shlosha shetilu l'kis. So too, if you have three people that went ahead and literally put money into a fund in order to do business, pichasu ahosiru, kach hein cholkin. If they pichasu means literally the amount diminished, ahosiru meaning there was a loss, ahosiru there was a gain. Kachin Cholkin, they split up the same way, in the way that we discussed. So the Gemara says, my love, Pichasu, Pichasu Mamish, Hosiro, Hosiro Mamish. So when we say Pichasu, does this not literally mean that there was actually a loss? and Hosiru, there was a gain. It means literally there was a gain. And therefore, the Mishnah is saying, therefore, again, we're learning that Halacha Lamaisa, they've split up in accordance, Lefima Osav, in accordance with their investments, to which the Gemara says, Amrav Nachman, Amrav Aravu Alo, Hosiru Zuzi Charati. Now, what's the case over here? We'll say the case over here is where Lamaisa, they went ahead, Hosiru means that they came upon new coins. In other words, we'll say, listen to this, that the case over here, if you look at Rashi, Zuzi Charati, Shematilin Zuzim Yishanim. So what happens? Now, when they put in their investment capital, everyone contributed old money. Old money. V'nasnu v'nasu bahen, achinasu chadashim. And then what happened? L'maisa, again, they did business. They transacted business. Until now, they were in receipt of new coins. V'yotzin hein b'hotza. So we'll say, so remember, so essentially, they invested money, whatever they were going to do with the money, but now they traded the money in, they did different transactions, and now they're in possession of new coins. So what's the halacha? So v'yotzin hein b'hotza, and these new coins, of course, are easier to conduct business with. Hilcha cholkin lefi hamos. The cholchad mai diyohev shakil. So we'll say, listen, this is very interesting. So remember, again, this, in the times of the Gemara, and of course even after that, so you had coins that are made of precious metals, you had newer coins and older coins, right? The monarch, a monarch is done, a monarchy ends, new king mints his own money, old money is still usable, but not as well. So let's say like this, let's say Reuven, Shimon, and Levi, you know, Reuven gives 100, Shimon gives 200, Levi gives 300. And what happens? Now, Lemais, again, they invest old coins. And now, as a result of just different transactions, they now have new coins in the fund. So the Gemara is now suggesting that everyone will agree in that case that what? Let's say before they do any more business, they decide to dissolve the partnership. So how do you dissolve the partnership in that situation? Everyone gets in accordance with their investment. Why? Now, that's an easy case. Why is that an easy case? Because they put in money, and what? Now they're taking out money. So pretty much they're just taking out now. The difference is it's not the same monies. They've actually seen an appreciation in their investment just simply by the fact that the coins that they now have in possession of the partnership are higher value coins. But in a case like that, where they're not dividing up results, they're not dividing up assets, but I mean, it is an asset, but they're literally just dividing up the same investment that they made. Therefore, the mice, again, everyone will take in accordance with their investment. However, again, and therefore, again, same thing, if you look at the Gemara, well, actually, it's finished Rashi. The chol chad ma'id yov shakil. Every partner, what he put in, he's taking out. Avalim osiru, yeser ala cheshbon, haschalim. So, what I will say, if let's say the partnership invested in something or did something, and enachinami, they profited, then everyone would agree that what? That lamaisa, any profits are split down the middle through all of the partners. However, pichasu, Rashi, next Rashi, pichasu, what does pichasu mean? Astira ditsunisa. You look at Rashi, Astir, the Tunisa, Shenifsula Hamatea, the Enyotzes Botsa, Umishiesh Lamaka, the Pisas Raglo, Mitachas, Kosher Mehem, Sham, the Malyale Halud, the Dido, Vitsurosa, the Doki, the Amina Bishabis, Yotzin, Bissel Shalatinis, Mufarish, Maitinis, Bas Ara, the Haven, the Yeshno Ben, Notal Koechon, Kachon Shetel. Listen to this. So, what's the case of depreciation? What's the case of loss? The case of loss is where the coins that they invested are now meaningless. Right, are worthless. The only thing they're good for is what? So we'll say, apparently, one of the Talmudic remedies was that if you had a wound on the bottom of your foot, they would put a coin on it. They would tie a coin on it. It's actually interesting. Rashi says over here, because of the chaluda. Chaluda literally means rust. But it could also mean, I don't know, maybe there was certain acidity to the metals, whatever it was, but they used to put this coin on the bottom, on a foot, a dafka, on a foot wound. On a foot wound. So we'll say, so the case of Pichasu is where pretty much the money that they invested, the money itself, the actual physical money, has now become meaningless. So in that kind of situation, again, Lamaisa, everyone will share in the loss in accordance with their investment. However, again, I'm refinishing Rashi. V'alapichasu mea ochamishim zuz, zemafsin mechza, v'zemechza, shaschar v'hefse emza. So I'll say what the Gemara's conclusion is that Lamaisa, when there's an actual change, a mamish in the monies invested themselves, then everyone will agree that what? That those profits or loss are shared in accordance with the investment percentages. Because there, the impact is on the money itself that they invested. So if the money appreciates, meaning literally better physical coins, everyone will get in accordance with their investment percentage. Money itself goes down in value, everyone shares in that loss according to their investment percentage. But any other profits or losses that are gained from the activity of the partnership, those are split equally among all of the partners, independent of their investment percentages. We'll say, I'm just going to read the Mishnah, then we'll go back and see the halacha l'maisa for this, because this is very interesting halacha l'maisa. Misha hayanasui dalid nashin. We'll say, if a man was married to four women, umes, and now he dies, like a kal v'chomer, right? I'm seeing like, if you think, right, the previous issue is married to three women and he died, now he's married to four women and he dies. So umes, we're supposed to listen to this. Harishona kodemes lishnia, ushnia lishlishis, ushlishis l'revias. Supposed to listen to this. So now what the Mishnah is talking about, and Yanki, this gets into your point over here, which we're now going to explore. And actually, this discussion is going to go back and talk about the previous Mishnah as well. So now what happens? So wife number one, her claim precedes wife number two. Wife number two's claim precedes number three. And wife number three's claim precedes number four. Therefore, Rishona Nishbas Lishnia. Well, this is actually very interesting. The first wife must go ahead and take a shvuah to wife number two before wife number one collects her ksuba. Look at Rashi for just a moment. Harishon nishpas l'shniyah. Im shniyah to'enes hoel va'atbas litol t'chila. Hashbi li shalo gavis mishal ba'ali klum. Dumala mishtayer li nechasim k'sher ksubasi. The Bible says, so what happens? Wife number one comes to go out and take her ksuba. So wife number two says, you have to take a shuvah. I don't trust you. How do I know that our husband did not give you something during your lifetime? Did not give you an item of value? How do you don't have an account somewhere? So before you go ahead and you take in a way that will potentially deprive me of getting my ksuva, you have to take a shvuah. Therefore, number one has to swear to number two. One has to swear to Nishal Shnia. Number two, Shnia the Shlishis. Number two has to swear to number three. Shlishis the Revius. Number three has to swear to number four. And others will say, each wife has to swear to the wife whom she is to, she may possibly be depriving of her ksuva, that in fact she has not received any previous or prior payment for her ksuva. But what happens? Vaharavias nifra'as below shvua. But we'll say, interestingly enough, wife number four gets to take without a shvua. Why? Because the ma'aseh again, by the time we get to wife number four, there is no other wife that she is potentially depriving. Therefore, the ma'aseh, she gets to collect without a shvua. Benana says no. V'chimip ne'ishiachron niskeres. What? Because wife number four is the fourth one, so she benefits, meaning she gets to collect without a shvua. Not true. She too could only go ahead and collect with the shvua. Hayu yotzos kulan biyom echad. So we'll say now the Mishnah gets into, well, now what we're saying is the fact that the way you set up this case is that these four marriages are occurring at four different times. Therefore, Lamaisa, wife number one has a stronger, or we should say earlier claim than wife number two, not earlier, you know what, prior claim. Wife number one has a prior claim to number two, two has prior to number three has prior to number four. However, let's say Hayu Yotzos Kula Biyom Echad, let's say this guy married all four of these women on one day. He's very, very, very economical, right? So he goes ahead and he marries all of them on one day. Kala Kodemes Lechaber Ta'afilu Sha'acha Zachsa. I will say, so what do we look like? What do we look like? What do we look at? If he married all of them on one day, then what we look at is, what time did he marry them? And depending on the time, meaning the earlier, we establish precedence by time. V'kach hayu kosim Yerushalayim. We'll also listen to this. V'kach hayu kosim Yerushalayim shos. We'll also listen, in Yerushalayim, this is amazing. Yerushalayim, they in the ksuva, they wouldn't only write the date, but what? They would write the time. Now the idea over here is that time establishes precedence. So therefore, again, the Maisa, the one who got married at 1 o'clock has precedence over the one at 2 o'clock, has precedence over the one at 3 o'clock, has precedence over the one at 4 o'clock. However, Hayu Kulan Yotas B'Shachas, we'll say, let's say not only did he marry them at this on the same day, but what? Mamish at the same time. So Ve'ein Sham Ela Mana. And yet, we'll say, now to make this even more complicated, not only did he marry them at the same time, and not only did he marry them on the same day, not only did he marry them at the same time, but what? There's not enough money in the estate to satisfy all of the ksuvas. There's only a money. In that case, Rabbi say cholkos b'shava. That goes back to kind of what we learned before. What we learned before is that if you have multiple wives and multiple ksuvas, and all there is a money, lemaisa, again, everyone shares in that money equally. But again, otherwise, what the Mishnah is teaching us is we establish precedence in the form of collection. So we'll stop over here for today. Just to tell you, interestingly enough, the halacha. So remember the halacha we saw before. Let me just show you this. So this is in Choshen Mishpat, Simen Kuf Ayin Vav Sif Hei. So what does the Shulchan Aruch and Simen Kuf Ayin Vav Sif Hei say? I'm going to read it to you. So the Shulchan Aruch writes, The Shulchan Aruch writes the following: Hashutvin shetilu lekis. Listen to this. Kosher mishpat kuf ayin vav hey. Hashutvin shetilu lekis zeman of a zemasayim. If you have partners that invested into a business together, this one 100, this one 200. See, he says, Vinis asku kulam b'mamon stam upichasu ahosiru. And I will say what happens, and they engaged in some type of transaction, and either they profited or they lost. What is the halacha? Says the Shulchan Aruch, haschar o apechas beinehem l'shava l'fi minyanam velo l'fi hamos. And both say partnership losses and gains are split equally among the partners, independent of the actual percentages of their investments. Not only that, afilu lachu shar letvicha sheilu lo machru hayanotel kol echan mibsar lefim also. Also, listen to this. Even if they purchase together an ox for the purpose of slaughtering it, the Shulchan Aruch says still, even in that case, even though you could divide it up in accordance with everyone's investment amount, we divide it up equally. Machru chayu pichusu o siras chara pechas beinehem. So I'll say fine. So he gives into the Shechita case. We're not going to do this. But Medra Amorim, when is this true? When is this true? Actually, I'm not going to get into all the details. Let me just end off with the last part. Vim hisnu b'neihem, ha'kol fitnaim b'in berevach b'in bev. So we'll say, so this is very important halacha. When it comes to halachic partnerships, if there is no explicit agreement between the partners as to how profit and loss sharing is going to occur, the halachic default is 50-50. Or whatever, however, you know, equal shares in profits and losses. If, of course, and that's the default in halacha. And that's even if it's clear that different partners are investing different amounts. However, again, the Shulchan Aruch says, v'im hisnu b'neihem, obviously, if partners create a partnership agreement, and in their partnership agreement, what? It's explicitly stated, I get 50%, you get this, I get that. Then, of course, the Shulchan Aruch says, hakol lefi tina'am, everything goes in accordance with their partnership agreement. All right. So we'll stop over here, pick up Emir Tzashem here tomorrow.